Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHD, WPHD, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Even NBC acknowledges Biden's got major, major, major political problems. No doubt about it. And the Democrats could lose in 2024 because they're losing voters of color. As Blacks for Trump put out a new song, which we have for you, by the way. Excuse me. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I'm going to play my interview with President Trump in just a few moments. But I do want to tell you, this is our happy hour brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Now, we're going to be live there on May 3rd, Friday, May 3rd. So mark your calendar and come to the show. Live shows are always a blast. And also, it's a Friday and I'll be working. And we'll have a great time. And you don't need a ticket. The show is free. We'll be on the fifth floor ballroom overlooking the ocean. The bar will be open. We'll have a great time together. If you've never been to a Zeoli show live, you definitely want to come because it's always mayhem. It's always a lot of fun and surprises, too. Always surprises. The other thing I want to tell you is that Trump is going to be in Wildwood on May 11th. You should get your tickets, and you do that at DonaldJTrump.com to see him in Wildwood. Jeff Van Drew, Congressman Jeff Van Drew, is going to be on the show with me on Wednesday. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk to Kash Patel, who is in the Trump administration. That guy knows a lot about the deep state. So I'm looking forward to that conversation with Kash Patel. But I want to thank my friends at the Grand Hotel for sponsoring our happy hour. You can make your reservation at New Jersey's premier full-service resort, conference center, and top beach destination wedding venue. Visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com for more information. Before I play the interview with Trump, I just want to share this with you. This is from Steve Kornacki, NBC. See, even far-right wing NBC has to acknowledge Biden's problems with the electorate. Now, remember something. My Zeoli axiom when it comes to polling, and I'm right on this point, people lie to pollsters all the time about who they're going to vote for, but they don't lie about their feelings. This is what I mean. Pollster calls your house or your cell phone, whatever, and you don't want to tell them you're voting for Trump. So you say, I'm voting for Biden, or you're not sure. But then they start asking you a series of questions. You think the country's on the right track? Who do you trust to handle this issue more? What do you think about will your kids have a better tomorrow than you have? And people are always honest about their opinions. So what a good pollster does is he compares the two and he looks at that and he says, based on this, we can conclude that a certain percentage of the people are lying. This is why I believe Trump is actually doing better in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Carolina, Arizona than the polls show. I think he's doing even better. The polls show him leading in all of those states, but not by a ton. But I think he's doing better than the polls show because people lie about who they're going to vote for, but they always tell the truth about how they feel, their feelings about things. So Steve Kornacki, who's a Jersey guy originally, Steve Kornacki is the guy you always see in khakis, always excitable, loves polling, loves data, loves breaking it down, goes on NBC, goes on Meet the Press on Sunday morning and shares this polling data, which is not good news for Joe Biden in any way, shape or form. Cut number 8.
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
Okay. All troubling numbers for Biden. Handling crisis, Trump's up 4. Strong record as president, Trump's up 7. Competent and effective, Trump's up 9. Necessary mental and physical health, Trump 19. Dealing with inflation and cost of living, 22. Look at that. This is not good news for Joe Biden. Now, here is the left-wing website, The Recount. Dems could lose in 2024 because of people of color. They're losing this. This is Steve Morris. This is a left-wing recount. Their new web series, Margin of Error, have Democrats dropped off a cliff with people of color. Increasingly, it seems like the answer to this question could be the entire ballgame in the 2024 election. Cut 9.
Is Donald Trump about to become president again solely because of Black and Latino voters? It might sound crazy, but it's a question many pollsters and analysts are increasingly asking. Right now, polls show Joe Biden doing worse among voters of color, especially men and especially the working class, than any Democratic president in modern history. And while some new reasons could explain that, from inflation to anger over the war in Gaza, the seeds of this trend have been building for years, and we already saw it start to happen in 2020. Maybe you don't believe the polls, and we'll talk about why there are some real red flags in them, but even Democrats are starting to worry about this. And everyone in politics is starting to agree on one thing. How Biden does among people of color could be the entire ballgame in this election.
Could be the entire ballgame in this election. You have the Blacks for Trump song, Matt DeSantis? All right, let's hear that. This is, Trump is leading with Hispanics. He's got a huge lead with Hispanics, and he's doing better with the Black vote in this country than any Republican has in recent history by far, including doing better than he did in 2020 and 2016. Take a listen to this.
Black MAGA, Black MAGA, Black MAGA, Black MAGA, Black MAGA, Black MAGA. Donald Trump, yeah, that's my president. Donald Trump, the first Black president. Ever seen a Black patriot? Yeah, we exist. The Democrats use my color just to stay rich. Indict my president, you might as well indict me too. Call me your Uncle Tom, but really what Obama do? Not a damn thing, Trump was just that Chick-fil-A.
There you go. And remember what it was Stephen A. Smith who said the other day. He said absolutely what they're doing to Trump, absolutely going after him, is helping him with the Black vote because Black voters see the targeting of what they're doing to Donald Trump. And with that, let's turn to the interview that I did with him last night. Now, he was in court today, day number one of this trial. I am not going to call it a hush money trial because it's about a non-disclosure agreement. I don't mind the term hush money because it's the Jersey guy in me and it sounds fun, but it's a non-disclosure agreement. And the question, of course, and I've broken this down for you in great detail about why there is no case here, why there's no case. First of all, and this is a key point, and I've made this point a few times. Alvin Bragg is arguing election interference. Let's understand that under federal election rules and law, there's nothing that says you have to disclose on your campaign reports if you pay somebody a non-disclosure agreement to keep quiet about an allegation. Nothing. That's why the feds passed on this. But here's the timeline problem for Alvin Bragg. When you are in politics and you file campaign expenditures, it's done on a quarterly basis. The expenditure would not have had to be filed until the first quarter of 2017, after Donald Trump was already elected and sworn in as president of the United States. So for Alvin Bragg to argue that by not putting that on a campaign report, Donald Trump was engaging in election interference makes no sense, because his basis for that is Trump didn't put it on the election form. But that election form would not have been due until after Trump was president and won the election. This entire case is a sham. Alvin Bragg has no federal jurisdiction, and the feds looked at this and passed on it and said there was no crime here. ELEC violations are typically always, always a civil issue. The campaign's issued a fine if there's an improper report filed, if there's a mistake filed, or if a form has to be refiled. It's not a criminal matter. And there's nothing in the law that says you have to file a campaign form if somebody makes an allegation against you and you pay that person money and they sign an NDA in exchange for keeping quiet about the allegation. There's no Gumata clause to the second to Article 2 of the Constitution that requires presidents to disclose allegations of extramarital affairs. There's nothing under federal law that says candidates have to tell people about all the bad things they did in their life. Nothing. Alvin Bragg is saying there's election interference, and the only one who's denying the election results of 2016 is Alvin Bragg. He does not want to admit that Donald Trump won that election, so he's putting something, we've never seen this in our nation's history before, a former president of the United States of America on trial over something it's not a crime. And if it was a crime, something that this district attorney would have no jurisdiction over because it would be federal. And it's not a crime, and it couldn't be a crime because his basis for this, which is that you didn't put this on an election report, when that election report would not be due until 2017 after he had already won. Now, without further ado, my conversation with the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. Take a listen.
Hello, Mr. President. How are you?
Hi, Rich. How are you? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's an honor to have you back on the show, sir.
Well, it's an honor to be with you again. I remember.
Well, I know you'd rather be with the people of Pennsylvania right now. I know you'd rather be on the campaign trail. I know you'd rather be out there talking to the people outside of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, but they're forcing you to be in a courtroom in New York City, Mr. President. And I got to tell you, sir, it's so unfair, and people of Pennsylvania stand with you. We just think what's happening to you is an outrage.
Well, I appreciate it. They're evil people. They're truly evil people. There was nothing done wrong whatsoever. Everybody says, you know, every legal pundit, Jonathan Turley and Andrew McCarthy, every single one of them say, there's no crime. There's no nothing. This is horrible. This is a terrible thing. I haven't seen anybody that said there is. But, you know, we're in a 95% Democrat area, which they did. This is all comes out of the White House. This is an effort to get Biden elected, and he's incompetent, and he's the worst president we've ever had. This is an effort by the Democrats, and it's a shame. We have a conflicted judge, totally conflicted. We have a situation that nobody can actually believe. Nobody's seen anything like this, but I appreciate you saying it.
Well, it's true. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people. They're union workers, they're cops, they're firemen, they're people that work in the natural gas industry. They think what's happening to you is unfair. They also know you're going to fight for their jobs, particularly natural gas. I mean, when you were president, the world, we were America's largest exporter of natural gas. Biden now has shut off liquid natural gas exports, which is a gift to Putin. It's a gift to China. And it's hurting so many jobs in Pennsylvania.
Yep, you're getting killed in Pennsylvania, and it's a big industry. People don't realize you're a big one, and people don't realize what they've done. They've hurt you so badly in jobs and on income, meaning you're going to have to raise your taxes because of what he's done. And what he's doing, though, generally, I mean, you know, allowing millions of people to pour into our country. I think we have 15 million already. And they come from jails, they come from prisons, they come from mental institutions and insane asylum, which is insane asylums, which is, you know, the step beyond, as I say. And you take a look at the people that are coming in, terrorists and drug dealers. It's what's happening in our country is is unbelievable. Nobody's ever thought a thing like this could happen. From men, and this is very important, but by comparison to World War III, it's not. Men playing in women's sports. The other night, as you know, he signed something that allows men to use women's bathrooms and all of these other things, showers. The whole thing is crazy what's going on. But to allow people to pour in from all over the world, they're coming. They're coming from all over the world, Rich. They're coming not just from South America. They're coming from Asia. They're coming from Africa. The other day, they had from the Congo, a large group of people coming in from prisons in the Congo. They're releasing prisoners from all over the world. And nations, I'd do it if I were running some nation. I'd say, let's get rid of our prisoners. Let's send them to the United States. But they're sending them to the United States at numbers like nobody's ever seen. Venezuela just announced just recently, a couple of weeks ago, 67% a reduction in crime because they've taken their gang members and their drug dealers and all of their bad ones and prisoners, and they put them into the United States. They're living in a town near you, maybe your town. And frankly, it's not even believable. You know, you say to yourself, as a negotiator, you always want to understand the other side. How can anyone want this? How can the other side want this? How can we have no borders? We want to have open borders. Let everybody in the world come in. And that's what's happening to our country. Our country is being destroyed. He's the worst president in history. There's never been a president close. Jimmy Carter was brilliant by comparison. And we have to win. We have to win.
They tell us that we had to renew FISA, something I know you're not a fan of. I'm not a fan of, because they use it to spy on your campaign. At the same time, we have all these able-bodied Chinese men walking over the border illegally. And then we've got people, they're arresting them and they're releasing them back on the streets. And yet they tell us they need to be able to spy on us, Mr. President, while they're letting all these people into our country who are on the terror watch list.
So a friend of mine came into the country. He flew in an airline. He said he's never been treated like that. He said they're giving him the third degree. They're, you know, checking him for everything. I think he said they brought him to a room. The whole thing. And yet if you come by the millions, if you come through the southern border, nobody's checking you. You just walk right through. You know, coming into the country on an airliner, especially if you're first class, is they give you the third degree. But, you know, if somebody wants to walk right into our country, as millions and millions of people are doing, totally unchecked and totally unvetted, it's ridiculous. It's really horrible what's happening. Our country is not the same country anymore, and it's going at levels that nobody's ever seen. Nobody ever thought our elections are rigged. The whole thing is rigged. It's terrible when you look at what's going on. And what they're doing right now is a form of rigging the election. You know, the persecution of me as the Republican candidate, that's a form of rigging the election. That's no different than other things they do. It's the only thing they know how to do. It's the only thing they know how to do. They certainly don't have good policy. And Biden has the worst of all. He's had bad policy for his whole life. He's never understood it. But it's a big problem.
No, we have in Pennsylvania, we have, as you know, the highest grocery prices in the entire region of this country. And Bidenomics is horrible. Everybody, I do the shopping in my family, Mr. President. I'm telling you, I went to the grocery store today. I could not believe it, just how expensive everything is. But you're right. It is election interference, because they're keeping you in a courtroom and not letting you be on the playing field. You're the Republican nominee for president of the United States. You're the chief rival to the president of the United States of America. And they're not letting you be on the playing field to talk to the voters, and they keep screaming about democracy being in danger. How is it fair to the voters to not allow you to be on the campaign trail?
Well, they're not, and this judge is pushing it. He's the most conflicted person. He is so conflicted, he should not be allowed to be the judge of this case, and he's pushing it at levels at breakneck speed. You heard it was going to take 2 or 3 weeks for the jury. He did it in a few days, and, you know, almost all Democrat area, almost everybody's Democrat in the area, and we've got others, too. You know, it's not only him. We had the AG, and they come out of the, if you look at it, they're all coming out of the White House. It's all Fannie is in Georgia. That's another one. Mm-hmm. They met numerous times. Her lover, Wade, was in the White House. And I guess the DOJ for 8 hours at a stretch. It all comes out of the White House. This is election interference. They're trying. This is cheating on the election. My trial tomorrow is cheating on the election. That's what they're doing. It's a disgrace.
We've never had this in our nation's history. A former president of the United States and the guy who's winning in the states that matter, winning in Pennsylvania, to be on trial. You know, you mentioned the border, and as you know, fentanyl is destroying this country. They make it in China. They bring it to Mexico. The cartels assemble it, and then it floods the streets of Philadelphia like places like Kensington. It's like the Walking Dead, zombies walking around.
Well, you know, we were really strong on drugs coming in, and I had a deal with President Xi who was going to give the death penalty to anybody making drugs and selling them into America. But when the election was rigged and stolen, he sort of forgot about that. And, of course, Biden didn't do anything about it, but he was ready to do that. He was going to do that, and you would have had a whole different story. But now you look at it, the drugs are pouring in at record levels. We had it way down. The drugs are now pouring in at record levels. I built 571 miles of wall, and we were going to do another 200, and they didn't want to do it. That's when I realized they want open borders. But we did 571 miles of wall. Think of that. And much more than I said I was going to do, Rich. And we had it up, and we were going to do another 200 because we needed it. And we had the best border in the history of our country, and now we have the worst border in the history of the world. There's never been a country with a border like this where millions of people are flowing in. And many of these people are really bad people. I mean, they're coming from prisons and mental institutions, and a lot of terrorists are coming into our country. We're going to be paying a big price. We're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country.
They keep talking about the wars. You know, I told you in the Oval Office, I know you remember this because you remember everything. I said to you, they want to stop you because you don't want any new wars. And now we're on the precipice of World War III under this president.
Well, you could very well have World War III. That's something that could happen. With him, you could have anything could happen. But you could have World War III, and it's a distinct possibility. To even think about this, you never heard this kind of language. You never heard this before when it was the Trump administration. Nobody talked about World War III. They didn't mention nuclear. Nuclear wasn't a subject. And I rebuilt our nuclear. We have very powerful nuclear. You don't even want to talk about it. It's too powerful. The weaponry today is so bad and so dangerous, and we have a man can't put two sentences together. He's our negotiator, and it's just not acceptable. And 6 months is a little more than 6 months. Think of that. That's the good news. The bad news is that's an eternity when you have somebody like this. It's an absolute eternity. And we're in very dangerous times, Rich, very dangerous.
Well, Mr. President, you got a lot of support in Pennsylvania, tremendous support. I've never seen it this big before, honestly. And I know the primary. I know you wish you could be with us, but we're rooting for you. And, you know, God bless you. I hope you can endure this. I know you will. You can endure anything. But I just want you to know that the people of Pennsylvania are with you. This is unconscionable what they're doing to you, but we're with you.
You've been so great, and I appreciate it. And get everybody out to vote. They got to get out to vote. And we just want to send a signal, because I really believe that November 5th, that's Election Day, because now you have election period. It lasts for weeks, but Election Day will be the most important period, most important day in the history of our country. We've got to win the presidency back. We've got to take our country back, and we've got to clean it out and straighten it out, and we will do that.
And we're excited to see you in Wildwood, New Jersey on May 11th. Yep. I look forward to seeing you there, Mr. President. Thank you for coming in to see us. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much for joining us here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rich. A great honor. I'll see you in Wildwood. I look forward to that.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I guess I'm going to Wildwood. I guess I got to go to Wildwood now. Open myself up for that one. Oops.
Yeah, you have no choice now.
Yeah, now I gotta go. Now I gotta go. I wasn't gonna go.
You can't lie to the Donald.
Can't do that. You know, he sounds just like himself, doesn't he?
What did you expect him to sound like?
I don't know, but I've been listening to Sean Farage so much lately that it's hard to tell the two apart. But that really was him, though. I swear.
Wasn't AI?
It was not AI. No, definitely was not AI.
Some are saying. Me.
Many people say. I didn't know that about the nuclear arsenal, that he rebuilt it like that. But it's good. It's good because you don't have a weak nuclear arsenal. What the hell's the point of that? Just saying. It was very nice of him to join the show. I appreciate it. And he'll be back. He'll be back a lot between now and November, no doubt about it. And the big reason why is because I respect his time. And they say to me, he's got 10 minutes. I keep it to 10 minutes. Like, other hosts don't do that. Other hosts, they take advantage of the time. I don't do that. It's not how I play the game. What?
Nothing.
No, I just think it's rude. No, it's just rude. Like, he's busy. You know what I mean? So they say to me, hey, listen, he's got 10 minutes for you. You got time for him? Yeah. And then I'm going to keep it to around 10 minutes. That's out of respect and out of courtesy.
Yeah, you wouldn't do 20.
No, because that would not be what the deal was. And I want him to come back on the show. And most importantly, I want his press people to have wanted to come back on the show and not be mad at me that I ate up all his time and made him late for something else that he had to do. Because he's dealing with stuff on all fronts. You know what I mean? So if the former and future president of the United States wants to make himself available to come on my show, and they say, hey, Rich, can you do us a favor? Keep it to 10 minutes. I'm going to go, yeah, I'll keep it to 10 minutes. Now, they did, of course, give me the caveat, which is that if he's rolling, don't interrupt him and, you know, let him keep going. And I could have thrown another question at him right after the Wildwood part. He'd be like, oh, one more thing. And then would have had like another 5 minutes of him going on. You see, I wasn't going to do that to him because I said 10 minutes because it's what they asked me to do. So I did 10 minutes and that's how we did it. See?
It's the art of the deal. You're playing the long-term game.
It's the art of the deal. I used to make those deals on his behalf. And if host abused that, we would notice. We would get mad. You know what I mean? Like, we said you had 5 minutes with the guy, you kept him on for 12, because he'll keep going. See, that's the thing. He'll keep going. And I know this about him, obviously, and I know that. And I'm not going to take advantage of that. That would be like taking advantage of somebody after you've given them several drinks. I'm not saying he doesn't drink, but I'm saying that would be taking advantage of them. You know what I mean? But in this instance, in this situation, I know that I could throw out another question and have 5 to 7 more minutes of the guy's time because that's how he is. I know that because I've been in the room with him many times to get him to not do that. So I'm certainly not going to be the one to do that to him. Do you understand my point?
Yes.
I was there to make sure he didn't do that to people. Then I'm not going to turn around and do it to him. That's taking advantage of my former student in many ways.
Yeah, you don't want to ruffle feathers.
No, and I don't want to do the thing that I told him not to do, but I'm doing it. So... And you like how he said, I remember?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
He does remember everything, though, the guy. What's that?
I liked his Jimmy Carter line, too.
You liked the Jimmy Carter line?
It was very funny.
That was good. That was good. The Jimmy Carter line was good. I wrote that for him. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't write that. Maybe I did. I don't know. I gotta check how long that NDA lasts. I gotta check the writing on that. Gotta dust that off out of the pile somewhere. Actually, the other day I was in my studio and I found I wrote him a note during I forget when, but and I emailed it to Jared and I said, hey, can you share
Kushner?
This? Yeah.
Okay.
No, Jared from Subway.
Not everybody knows Jared on a first name basis.
Oh no, ooh, Jared from Jared. Subway, the pervert in prison. I sent it to him and said, can you get it to Trump? No, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
My friend Jared. What a name drop.
I sent it to Jared and I said, hey, can you share this with the president if you think it's appropriate? And he wrote back, he said, thanks, Rich. And then, you know, his scribble, Donald J. Trump. And so the next day I get a call from the White House and they say, hey, the president has something for you. He's going to send it to you. And I said, great. So that, you know, this was, I want to make sure we have your right address. I mean, they obviously can look up anybody's address, but I said, yeah, that's it. They go, all right, it'll be coming first class, whatever. And I open it up and it's literally a printout of what I said, Jared, with just him and in pen, he just wrote, thanks so much, Rich. Appreciate all the support, Donald J. Trump. And it's, you know, on the official White House, in the official White House letter and everything like that with the big White House envelope. But that's just it. They just printed it. He signs it. sends it right back.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that funny? But the best was, we were in the Oval Office and Don was there, and we go into the president's private office room. I've told this story before, but we go into the president's private office off the Oval, and it's a disaster back there. It's a mess, right? And he's got all these things, and he hands me this big silver plate, and it says Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States of America. And he hands Don this little platter that's about maybe 6 inches by 6 inches. And it says Donald J. Trump, president of the United States of America. And he hands it to her. And then he stands there, reaches over, takes the big plate out of Don's hand, out of my hands, and gives it to Don, and takes the little plate out of her hands and gives it to me. And I said, all right. Don, you get the big one.
Yeah, you can't argue with the president of the United States.
You know what I mean? He chose wisely in that matter. He gives it to the more attractive of the two, and, you know, that was it. But I think that we use that as a candy dish if you ever come to our house. What else are you going to use it for? It's like a dish, you know what I mean? But it says it's the official White House candy dish. I don't know. I don't know what you call it. I don't even know what you call it. But, you know.
The official White House candy dish.
Yeah. Now, Roma, who was on the show with us, you know, Roma was the, so we were in the OEOB, the old executive office building, Eisenhower executive building, as they call it now. That's where we had Radio Row. When it came time for me to interview him that time, she said, all right, we're going to walk over to the West Wing now. So we walk over there together, and she and I started talking. We were having a good, we had a great conversation. So we became friends. And then remember, Matt, she came on the show at CPAC.
Yeah, she was great.
She was great. So I think that she will be press secretary, or Caroline will be press secretary, communications director. Both of them will be in there in the West Wing, which is good because I want to go back. Because next time I go, I want that big freaking dish. I feel like
that's the only reason.
I think I have it coming to me, is my point, you know? And then when the interview was over, they were like, all right, well, go have fun and wander the grounds and, you know, you walk around, do whatever you want. So that's when we went into the press briefing room, and I took all those pictures of myself behind the podium, pointing at the press corps. And I should repost those on Instagram. But that was fun because I got to feel like the White House press secretary for the day. That's my dream job. If he offers that to me, I'm taking it.
That's your dream job?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Oh, God, yeah. Be White House press secretary? I would love that job.
But you'd be better than Karine Jean-Pierre.
Well, I mean, she's a robot. Anybody be better than that?
She set a low bar.
She's not a human being, so it's not that complicated. But no, he will have a woman do it. But if he ever, remember the time he had the mooch in there for 11 days?
Ah, Anthony Scaramucci, yeah.
That turncoat traitor. And I was so annoyed by that, but he picked Scaramucci at that time. And I said, I called Jared and I said, what the heck? He said, well, I didn't think you'd want to give up your radio show and come to Washington. I said, to be press secretary? Of course I would do that. But now I don't want the job anymore. So it will either be Caroline or it'll be Roma, and they're good friends. So that'll be fine. I'll do that. And then what I'll do is I'll get the peanuts, because I didn't get the White House peanuts last time I was there. I meant to, and I forgot. So these are all the things on my list.
What's so special about the peanuts?
Well, the peanuts, a box of M&Ms. They make it for every president, and it's got his signature on it.
Oh.
And you collect them.
Okay.
And you don't eat them.
Ew.
Have you been collecting others?
Chris Christie would eat them. He would take those M&Ms and take it out of that box and pour it into the big box of M&Ms, and then he would eat out of those. Anyway, we have another guest coming up. I got to go. I got to take a break. I'm late. We have another guest joining us in a matter of moments. So hard to top the president of the United States, but we'll do our best. But Natural Lawn of America is going to help you have that beautiful, lush, thick green lawn you've always wanted. Reach out to them today. Natural Lawn of America. They are locally owned and operated right here in PA and New Jersey. NaturalLawn.com is where you go. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. With my friends at Natural Lawn of America. For over 35 years, they have been helping you have a beautiful lawn because their certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. This environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and your pets. Natural Lawn is a great company. I've been using them for years. Natural Lawn will give you free seeding with their full service program. That means they'll seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 800-FREE-SEED or visit naturallawn.com to learn more. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, Fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
What song is this?
This is Donald Trump by the late great Mac Miller.
He's loving it. Good stuff. I hate it, but it's, those are the theme. So, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Les Leopold is the author of a brand new book called Wall Street's War on Workers: How Mass Layoffs and Greed Are Destroying the Working Class and What to Do About It. Les Leopold, thanks for joining me in Philadelphia. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, one of the things that caught the attention of your book for me was you said that people are getting it wrong about the kind of, I'd say, populist rage that's out there, so to speak. Why workers are feeling angry. People are getting it wrong, and particularly Democrats are getting it wrong. So give us some insight into how workers or the working class in this country is feeling today.
Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Let me start with the bad news. There's a lot of anger out there because working people have gone through mass layoff after mass layoff after mass layoff. I estimate somewhere between 1 in 5 Pennsylvanians in the last couple of decades has gone through a mass layoff. In some counties, rural counties, it's 1 out of 3. Imagine that. Your plant goes down in a rural county in Pennsylvania. 1,000 workers are out looking for a job. You and 1,000 of your neighbors and friends are looking for the few jobs at a dollar store or Walmart. It gets you very angry about society. I mean, you're working your heart off. You're working as hard as you can. You think you're trying to get some kind of economic stability, but then it disappears on you again and again and again. We've been told that the problem is, you know, technology and China. But what it really is Wall Street. This is being driven by Wall Street for the last several decades. And workers are rightfully angry. That's the bad news. You want the good news?
I love good news, yes.
Yeah. The good news is working people are not deplorables. They're not racist, sexist people. We checked. There are these long-term voter surveys. They're not like, you know, they're not asking you who you voted for president. They're asking how you feel about different issues. And we found 23 hot button questions. And over the last several decades, working people have gotten increasingly liberal, not illiberal. Give you one example that really blew my mind. should gay couples be allowed to adopt children? Well, a couple of decades ago, about 30% said yes. Now it's well over 70%. People become more tolerant, more respectful of each other's rights. So when you see this populist anger, it's not about that. It's about job instability. It's about being unable to hang on to your job. So that's what's that's what my book's about, Wall Street's War on Workers. That's what it's about.
And yet I heard this University of Maryland professor who wrote this book on white rural rage and made all these claims that white working class people are a bunch of racist, sexist bigots, exactly the opposite of what you just said. And that's become a liberal, and I shouldn't say liberal because you're right. There's a difference between liberal and illiberal. And so I would say today's modern day left is very illiberal. But that has become a talking point, particularly among the Democrats. And I think it's even led people like James Carville to say the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. They're no longer the party of the working class people.
Well, they're going to have to scramble to get back there. That book is filled with errors. And one of the big one is to even come up with something. They're not just talking about the working class. They're talking about all white rural people. And that's a concept, you know, that's like a new concept. Now we're going to put all rural white people in the same basket that have the same point of views. You know, we didn't find that. We, in fact, my research team, when we looked at this, we actually compared suburban, rural, and urban working class people and white working class people as their attitudes on those 23 hot button questions. No difference. It's frankly, it's BS to say that there's all this rural, this rural rage. Yeah, working people are upset, whether it be in Blindman, New Jersey, where I was born and raised, or whether it's in rural Pennsylvania. People are upset about job instability. And, that's what led me to write this book, because I wanted to be able to have people grapple with this problem. And, you know, we could do something about it. It would be very easy to do something about it. This is the part that blows my mind. Want to hear that?
Of course. Yes, please do.
Okay. So,
well, actually, before you do that, may I just jump in for a quick second, Les Leopold, and say,
absolutely, sure.
One of the things that strikes me about your book, which I really appreciate, is, you know, you talk about this idea of empathy. Like, for example, you say, you know, to not call people deplorables, to not label them as racist bigots and all the other things that modern day Democrats are doing, for example, but to empathize, to understand their pain and what they're going through. I think of Bill Clinton comes to mind in 1992. You know, I feel your pain. To nowadays mocking these people and putting them down. And you're never going to win people over by insulting them. You're not going to win people over by thinking that they're all a bunch of illiterate imbeciles who don't read books and don't hate each other. And that's a big problem in our politics today. But I also think, I mean, looking at why rural places have voted for Donald Trump, I mean, he's a billionaire, he's a populist, but he doesn't do that to working people. He doesn't come in and insult them, insult their intelligence. If anything, he says, hey, I feel bad. These trade deals have cost you your jobs and have cost you, you know, factories going overseas. And he says those things to people and people are like, yeah, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. And they appreciate that.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. And I think, there's two, I give you the example of Sherrod Brown, Senator Sherrod Brown in Pennsylvania. What you just described is exactly what he does as well. He's very liberal on social issues, but he's gung-ho trying to, you know, save the jobs of working people. And that's what makes him popular, I think, in Pennsylvania.
But Sherrod Brown is, I'm sorry, not you think of John Fetterman or?
No, did I say Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I meant Ohio.
Sherrod
Brown in Ohio,
gotcha.
Yes. One state over. So he's very popular because he cares about working people, even though he takes liberal positions on social issues. And he's like proof that social issues really aren't the driver. Unfortunately, historically, since 1980, both political parties have kind of like turned their way from this issue. They have not been willing to come down hard on Wall Street and stop these stock buybacks that are really behind all this. that both parties have been afraid. I hate to say this. I know which way you lead.
No, it's okay. I criticize the Republicans all the time when I think they're doing the wrong thing. So it's
this is the big one. Both parties have gotten way too comfortable taking money from Wall Street, deregulating Wall Street, and letting them get away with it. And there's a way to stop this. You know, we spend $760 billion federally on contracts that go to the private industry. $760 billion. That's a lot of taxpayer money. So we could have one small caveat in those contracts. When you're getting federal taxpayer money, you can't put taxpayers into compulsory layoffs. You can have voluntary layoffs. You can try to buy them out, but you can't throw them on the street anytime you want if you're going to take taxpayer money. If you don't want to take taxpayer money, we can't do anything about it. But if you're going to take taxpayer money, you've got to do voluntary layoffs instead of compulsory ones. And, you know, these companies are so large, they could easily rearrange their production. I've seen them do this in Europe. I saw them do it at Carrier Air Conditioning in the United States. When there's pressure coming from the federal government, they will respond because they want that money. It's a lot of money, $760 billion. So it would be easy. Look, it's hard enough for working people to lose their job. At least buy them out. And if they don't want to go, you know, they can't go, then find something for them to do. These companies are highly flexible, highly mobile. They can easily move their production around. I don't think that's asking too much. At least there would be a conversation starter with them. And we got to do something about Wall Street. I think the average working person, you know, it's funny when I ask people, what's the word that comes to mind? You know, when we do these workshops, we do a lot of workshops with United Steelworkers. What's the word that comes to mind when you talk about Wall Street? The first word they say is greed. Mm. The first word. So I think we have to do something about that. I mean, they're doing very well, good times and bad times. One other point I want to make here, just to show you, it's not just industrial workers that are losing their jobs. Working people have been told for the last generation, well, you may have it rough, but your kids go to school, they get a job in high tech, they'll do well. Well, guess what? Last year, 262,000 workers in high tech lost their jobs, and another 75,000 this year. And this industry is booming, and they're still slashing workers to pay for their stock buybacks for Wall Street. It's a shame. You know, in 1980, in working on this book, I found some really interesting articles from CEOs, and they were describing how bad they felt if they had to lay anybody off, that they felt it was a sign of their own failure. They didn't want to do it. You know, if there was a recession, they had to do it, then they wanted to hire them back afterwards, or they tried to find a way to not lay them off. They really were committed to their workers. Now, you know, you go to business school, one of the first things they teach you is you got to be tough, you got to be rough, you can't have any sentiments, you got to cut workers, you got to do it. It's like a different world. And I think working people are rebelling against it. They're saying, no, in a democracy that's fair and just, there has to be some kind of job stability. You can't just be tossing us on the garbage heap every time you want to do another stock buyback.
I don't think people are aware of that $760 billion number. I mean, that's shocking to think that our tax dollars go to these private corporations in such a manner. And I got to think there's got to be interchange. I mean, a lot of lobbyists on Capitol Hill, and, you know, we talk about the swamp. I mean, you know, they're there to push for these government contracts all the time. So our money's going to that. And the very same people that are paying the taxes then wind up losing their jobs. And I agree with you. I mean, that's a real problem. Listen, you don't want to take government money, then yeah, knock yourself out, do whatever you want. But once you start playing that game, I agree with you, Les. I mean, there has to be an exchange here because this is our money we're paying for here. And then if you're going to start laying off American workers, let's not forget, you know, people lose jobs. You decimate towns. You decimate other industries. Now those workers don't have the money to be able to go out to dinner and go out to the movies and go out, you know, buy their kids clothes. I mean, the ramifications of this become huge. the people at the top of this, they get more, and it's not just private revenue that they're generating if they're taking $760 billion a year of taxpayer money.
Yeah, but look, that's what outraged me. I Googled, how big is the federal contract system? It's $760 billion. We have a big defense budget, and we have, other things that get other contracts to administer things. And like you said, knock yourself out. You don't want to take the money. Sure. But you know what? They want the money. They'll mm-hmm. line up for it. And if they know there's they'll adjust. That's a lot of money. They're going to adjust. That's every single year. They're going to adjust. And I think working people would stand up and applaud. Your listeners would be thrilled to know that the big companies that they work for are not about to lay them off. And then you can make plans. Then you can actually not worry that you're going to lose your house or worry that, I get very upset when I even think about workers, 1,000 workers competing with each other for, a handful of jobs after a plant got shut down. I saw this personally. I went to Oberlin College in Ohio, and in the middle of the pandemic, they laid off 114 of the, in a sense, lowest paid blue collar workers, the janitors and the food service workers, and replaced them with cheaper subcontractors. And we interviewed those workers, and they were crestfallen. Their hearts were broken. It was like a bond of trust. I mean, they were so upset. They got symptoms, physical symptoms, depression.
Sure.
And when we researched it more, it turns out there's a lot of health studies that have been done about laid off workers. And it turns out it's shockingly damaging. It's up there. I think it's the 7th most severe thing that can happen to you in your lifetime, above divorce in terms of health hazards, up there with loss of impaired vision and impaired hearing. It's just traumatic. And in many cases, I'm not saying all cases, but in many cases, I'd even say most cases, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. There were other ways to keep people working. And we have to get back to that kind of thinking that CEOs had, a generation ago, where they cared about their workers. And the only way to get from here to there is you tame Wall Street and you don't let them have that $760 billion unless they agree to not lay off taxpayers while they have the contract.
It's a fascinating conversation. I'm glad you started it. Les Leopold, Wall Street's War on Workers, How Mass Layoffs and Greed Are Destroying the Working Class and What to Do About It. Great insights about who the working class is, and so nice to hear that we're not a bunch of deplorables. Hey, thank you, Les, for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And that is the big story of the day, brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VeneriaDental.com, 856-786-2020. VANARIA, VenariaDental.com. All right, big fourth and final hour coming up. Joe Biden's uncle still not eaten by cannibals. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.